You ever had a day when things were going wrong and you have faith and you say, yes, I know that the Lord's going to take care of me, but things keep going downhill and all of a sudden you're thinking, Lord, I know what you said, but are you still there? And he's saying, I'm with you. Have faith. Do the right thing. Do you ever find yourself, as life does things to you, that you can get discouraged? You try to do the right thing, and sometimes everything goes wrong. Ever had one of those days, one of those weeks? Success turns to failure, at least temporarily. You try to do the right thing, and what do you get? Punished. You start your day, you're up, you're running a little late, you're trying to get ready to go to work or wherever you are, and you break a shoelace. And the issue is you're wearing loafers. I mean, we're talking about a bad day here, John. I mean, if that happens and you break a shoelace and you're wearing loafers, I mean, watch out. I can't imagine what's going to happen next. There was a great philosophical TV show many years ago, and I know that some of you will not admit that you watched it. But I'm watching you, and I know who you are. It was a really big philosophical show on every week. It was called Hee Haw. See, I told you you were watching it. And they had one song, and the idea was that if I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And sometimes life seems to give us that. And I want us to look at a character from the Bible today and kind of gain hope from that. He's one of my favorite characters. I have a lot of favorite characters, but I keep coming back to this man. And you'll find his story in Genesis. Chapter 37. So if you have a Bible and you want to look at it and follow it, it runs from 37 all the way to the end of Genesis. That's a big story. The one chapter that doesn't relate to him is chapter 38. But other than that, when you start in 37, it runs right through the end of Genesis. And the person I'm talking about was Joseph. They did a Broadway show about that years and years ago. I didn't see it, but wasn't it something about the coat of many colors? I should have looked that up. But a lot of people know about Joseph and the story of Joseph. As we first hear about him, he was a spoiled son. He was the apple of his father's eye. And he went from that to being a slave. You talk about a turn of events. From being from a rich family, being the favorite son of his father out of 12 sons, and all of a sudden, what happens? A turn of events. And you recall, he had the dream. He had the coat. It seemed like he had this arrogant attitude that his brothers were not as good as him and that they would be bowing down to him. Remember the dream of the sheaves and so forth. We're not going to have time to look at that. But it reached a point where his brothers just pretty much hated him for that arrogance and for what he was saying about them and himself and so forth. And you recall that he came out to see them, and he gets thrown in a pit. And they want to kill him. And the older brother says, look, we can't do that. Just hold on and I'll be back. Well, before he got back, and I think that was Reuben, you can check me on that to be sure, they'd come up with another idea. Why kill him? Let's make some money off of this guy. He probably owes us anyway. So let's sell him as a slave. There was a group of traders coming by, and they saw him, and they said, hey, we got a person we'd like to sell to you. So they said, fine, here's your money. Take the kid and go. And so here's this kid that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. All of a sudden, he's got a plastic spoon in his mouth. He's a slave. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He's being taken to a foreign country. He'd probably heard of Egypt, but still, taken away from family and taken to this foreign country. And so you say, can things get any worse? Well, he gets there. He's bought by a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar likes the guy. He says, a lot of potential. I'm going to put him as a house slave, put him in charge of my house. I can trust him. He's smart. He's able to do a lot of things. So things are looking up. He's got a cushy job. Instead of toiling out under the sun and getting dirty and stuff, he's in Potiphar's house. And things are looking up. So it's not as bad as it was. But then, well, in 39, it says the Lord was with Joseph. And you say, really? I just about got killed by my brothers. I was sold to some slave traders. I was brought to Egypt, and now I'm a slave. Boy, I'm really glad you're with me, God. And probably God thought, and I don't want to put words in God's mouth, but you really are blessed, and I'm with you, and I'm going to take care of you. So things are looking up. He's got a good job, and he's doing well. But then Mrs. Potiphar comes on the scene. And you know the story. She kind of took a liking to Joseph. He was a good-looking young man, she decided that the two of them should get together. And he said, I can't do that. I cannot do that because of my master Potiphar. And I'm paraphrasing here. And I can't do that because of my God. I've got to, Shaq, are you awake back there? Joseph said, I've got to.
Do the right thing.
Thank you. Now, whether he actually said that, I'm not sure, but that was what I think he thought. You know, temptations are here, but I have got to do the right thing by my master, and I've certainly got to do the right thing by my God. So, Mrs. Potiphar, I'm not going to engage in what you want. We're not going to have sexual relations. We're not going to go behind your husband's back. I'm not going to do it. So, we know that didn't work out too well, did it? She talks to her husband, makes up a big story that he was the perpetrator here of this liaison, and so he gets into trouble, and they throw him into jail for doing the right thing. Talk about having a bad day. But he gets to the prison, and the warden there notices that he's got a lot on the ball. He's a bright young man, and he sees him, and he says, you are so good that I'm going to make you the assistant warden. That means he's in a better cell, he gets better food, he's got more independence, and he's got some authority over the prisoner. So he was elevated from a prisoner to basically an assistant warden. And I think it's interesting in chapter 39 where it talks about these events I just mentioned. And it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And if I were Joseph, I'd say, I just got thrown in prison, Lord. Are you sure you're with me? Have you ever had a day when things were going wrong and you have faith and you say, yes, I know that the Lord's going to take care of me, but things keep going downhill. And all of a sudden you're thinking, Lord, I know what you said, but are you still there? And he's saying, I'm with you. Have faith. And I think that's what we were seeing here with Joseph. I'm with you. So he's in there. And you remember the cupbearer the fact that he interpreted the dreams for him and so forth. And he said, remember me when things get better for you. And the cupbearer did not remember him at all. He was restored to his position in the Pharaoh's house. And here's Joseph still in prison. And so, again, the Lord was with him. Finally, this dreamer makes it big, and he goes from rags to riches. And if we look at that particular place there, the cupbearer forgot him. But in chapter 41, it talks about Pharaoh having a dream. And this morning in the adult class, we were talking about the Babylonians and how they kept having these dreams, and Daniel would be called on. What does this mean, Daniel? And Daniel would come up and interpret what the dream was about and so forth. And Daniel lived long after Joseph, when you put it in the history of the Old Testament. But the dream that was there in 41, let me just refer to that. Says Pharaoh in verse 5, he fell asleep again in a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it was a dream. And before that, he had the dream about the seven cows. Remember, seven healthy cows, and then the seven skinny cows, and all of a sudden the seven skinny cows swallowed up the seven healthy cows. And Pharaoh's saying, now what is this about? And so nobody could figure it out. And finally the cupbearer says, hey, I know a guy. I got a guy. And I think he was saying that because if he had a guy that could come and help out, guess what's going to happen? Cupbearer might get a promotion. He might not be the third cupbearer. He could move up to being second cupbearer. A little raise in pay, a little more status, whatever. So he remembers Joseph, and they said, well, where is this guy? Well, he's down in prison. What? We're getting a prisoner to come and help me with this. Yeah, trust me, Pharaoh. It's going to work out. So they get Joseph, and he comes. And this, again, reminds me of what this class has been studying in the book of Daniel. Daniel was called on several times to interpret dreams and so forth. And who did Daniel give the credit to when he interpreted a dream? Well, it was me. You're right. I've got this power, and I'm your man. No, that's not what Shaq said today. What did you say, Shaq? Who did Daniel give credit to?
God is in control.
Yep. I can't do it, but my God can do it. Boy, that's an attitude, isn't it? I would think, just looking across you today, the fact you're here, the fact that you're joining together in worship, that you're wanting to seek God and let God know that you are his person and you want to follow him, you're saying to God, God, I want to give you control. I want you to be in charge. I can't do it by myself, whatever it is, but with your help, we can do it. If you've ever been in a tough situation and you didn't know what to do, there used to be a phrase, John, in the old days, well, if all else fails, pray. I've heard people say that, and maybe some of us have thought that. I've tried everything I know to do. I guess I'm going to have to pray now. Well, I'm thinking maybe it needs to start a little sooner than that, this idea of praying to God. Hey, God, I've got this problem. This thing came up all of a sudden. What do I do? Show me the way. Lead me the way. But we see an attitude here about Joseph saying, you know, I can't do this, but God can. He can help you interpret the dream. He can tell you what this means and what you need to do, Pharaoh, what you need to do. And you recall the story, and I'm sure some of our little kids in that hallway could tell you the story about this. The seven good cows and the seven skinny cows and all that. 7 years where things are going to be abundant. You're going to have more grain and more things than we know what to do with. And the idea is then when we have the seven bad years, you better put some aside in the 7 good years and we'll have plenty. And as you're following the scripture, but I think I'm close. And so He says here, as we get farther down, in verses 39 in Genesis 41, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you," even Pharaoh's acknowledging God, "since God's made this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, you." Talk about a rags to riches story. From being a slave in the prison to being second in the kingdom of Egypt and being given responsibility to handle all the details of the 7 good years and 7 bad years and make sure everything was going to work out right. Sometimes life is not fair, but we have to do the right things nicely. Oh boy, I've got this all figured out. All of a sudden, there's a U-turn in your life that was unexpected. Well, I'm saying when that happens, do the right thing. Bad things happen to good people. If you haven't figured that out yet, and if it hadn't happened to you and you're a good person, I don't want to be pessimistic, but it could happen. And if it does, well, you know what I mean. God is always with his people. I think that's what faith is about. Do you have faith in God? Do you believe God, what God has promised? There's a lot of things and a lot of people that are trying to pull us in a different direction. My wife, bless her heart, I wouldn't trade her for anything. She's tired of these political commercials that are on TV, and you probably haven't noticed them. And if that's true, I've got this property I've been wanting to talk to someone about. She said, "I've had it with these commercials." And I said, "Well, you know, there's a way to avoid that. You hit the mute button, or you hit the off button. But they're in your face, and I keep hearing these awful things about all these people. And if I believe that, I don't think there's anybody I could vote for. I mean, they're all bad, according to the commercials. I mean, there's not a good one in the lot. And if we're putting our confidence in people we send to Tallahassee or people we send to Washington, we're putting our confidence in the wrong direction. I'm not saying they don't do good things, because we enjoy good things because we have a government, we have people taking care of business. But bad things happen to good people. Do the right thing. The passage this morning, and I'll just read part of it, where he told him to go and make disciples and so forth. And the part I remember is, "And surely I am with you most of the time." Well, I'm with you when I have time. If you'll make an appointment next week, I can be with you. No, I'm surely with you always. How long? To the very end of the age. Now, if that isn't something we can sign on to, how long are you going to be with me? To the end of the age. To the end. You stay with me, I'm with you. Whatever that is, I'm there for you. Joseph had confidence in his God. When he was in prison, when bad things happened to him, when life was unfair, when there were reversals, he said, "I'm going to do the right thing." He's kind of stubborn about it, maybe. Can we have spiritual stubbornness? Is that okay? Maybe we need some of that. We don't want our kids to be stubborn, but maybe spiritual stubbornness is okay. Another passage in John 14 I'd like to read says, "Peace I leave with you." But Lord, I'm having troubles down here. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you." Ah, there's the catch. God is not going to give us peace like the world wants to give peace. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." If we had no other verse than that, John 14:27, That's pretty powerful. Let me read it again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. My final thought is, guess what? Do the right thing. Sounds pretty little. Six words? Big. Do the right thing. That's the lesson. That's all I got. Each Sunday, we set aside this time. We sing a song that our good song leaders lead for us. And it's a time we want to encourage one another. We want to encourage one another to serve God more perfectly. If you are with us and you need the prayers of this church, we got some good prayers here. We pray for one another. And we will pray with you and for you. If you have never taken Christ as your Savior, and you don't have the promise of peace that God will leave with you, and that God will be with you forever, and you want to be baptized into Christ, we have that available to you, and we would be thrilled to assist you in putting on Christ so you can be one of God's children. So if you have a need, if you want us to be of spiritual assistance this morning, come on down, and as we sing our song, and that's your lesson.